Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Carscott coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is another beautiful day to be alive and another day to stand on the wall and pray for the Office of the President. And today I titled this episode of A Watch for Thanksgiving, as we have gone through our study of the early evening 6 to 9 p.m. morning watch, evening watch, of seeing through Scripture the outlining of the principle of preparing ourselves to enter into the rest of the evening watches and taking back the night, and the importance of just releasing our anxieties before we enter. Most people usually enter into that time of rest, of sleep. And I want to, next week and the week after, we'll get into the midnight watch. But today I kind of want to lay a groundwork of, and I've done it briefly before, I want to kind of go a little bit deeper of looking at the principle and going through Scripture a little bit of building a foundation of why it's important to even consider and what's important about this midnight watch. And then again, go over some of the truths about how it got established and the difference between actual biblical times versus now. And so when we look at this, the scripture that is coming to the forefront on this, about where we see this beginning, is in Psalm 119, verse 62. For some reason, again, I don't know why I can't pull this up today. But if you look in your Bibles, hopefully you have it, or I can go back, I'll put it in the comment sections below, is in the New King James Version, Chuck points out that in Psalms 119:62 says, "At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments." And going forward and giving us a baseline of this midnight watch is a time for Thanksgiving. So if we're waking up in the middle of the night thinking that, oh, did I really make it through the night? Did I get through the day of understanding or the night of, have I entered into this new day, or am I still stuck in the old day per se? And realizing, okay, if you have these anxieties, if you have these worries, these concerns about whatever it is you may be going through, about the coming battle, about whatever's happening, it's a time to just enter into a time of thanksgiving and worship and praise of the Lord. Even if you're just in your bed, you know, Lord, I thank you for, you know, handling this situation and not letting the doom, the darkness continue on into the next day, and then what is of the past affect the future. And that's one of the really big things that Gloria Zion teaches and talks about, and the reason of why we have hope and a faith for the future. So we want to build on this foundation of continuing to understand the watches that we're in and entering into, and making sure we stay in that alignment with the Lord. And he also lines out is the midnight watch is also the time where the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. As you're entering, you're going to that Passover, you're going into that exile. And so you're going the midnight watch, the exile of the night, and understanding of getting in that alignment with what the Lord would have. And again, the difference of biblical time, there was only three watches. So midnight would have been the breaking point. And then because of the Roman time, they did the four. They broke it down to four watches, so more, and that's kind of where the midnight watch comes from. So the early eating, midnight, early morning, and morning watch are the four watches there. And we've gone through the morning watch, 6 to 9 a.m. We've done 6 to 9 p.m. And then now we're doing nine to midnight, excuse me, trying to get my timeline straight. Okay, so we're going there of understanding that the midnight watch and building this foundation is a time for Thanksgiving. And so next week we'll go through some of those prayer points that he points out there and understanding more and building on that foundation there. Okay, so today we have quite a few things to get to, some things to be aware of about that's going on in the White House, what's going on in the Senate, and then I want to give an update. There are economic reports this morning that I think we need to be aware of and understanding what we're being told on the economy. Because I've said some things before, but I want to kind of dive into the weeds a little bit here on these things. And so, but first I want to bring up, let me try to bring this up, is Biden is considering behind closed doors, trying to, we've talked about this before, and I want to bring this up and why we need to continue to pray on this issue, is the issue of the getting back into the Iran nuclear deal with Iran. And the negotiation tactic there for Iran is to have the IRGC, the Iranian General Guard, removed from, Revolutionary Guard, removed from the terrorist watch list. And I bring this up because these more reports are coming out. There's nothing really being said about it because supposedly negotiations are stalled, because this is the key point. And the Biden administration is trying to figure out a way of how to get this done, to remove them from the terrorist watch list. And one thing we know prophetically to watch is what Anthony Blinken is saying on this issue, because we have prophetic that the Biden administration will try to silence him. And he has said this would be a bad move. And there's more stories coming out about this. And one key note economically for Iran is that they have no motivation to get out of this deal. They have all the power because the Biden administration has removed sanctions from off of the Iranian economy. And the Iranian Central Bank of Iran, has grown their deposits, assets, from $4 billion early last year to $20 billion in December of last year. And the expectations for this year is that they will double that. So there's literally no reason for them to ever get back into this deal. And now they're coming into a negotiation to try to pressure the administration to get them out of, to get the IRGC off of the terrorist watch list. This is something we've pointed out before and something we want to continue to stand against. So we want to pray for not only this issue internationally, but also the Ukraine and China issue there as well. We want to pray for this Biden administration to have wisdom of the Holy Spirit and fear of the Lord, as we're seeing now the Ukrainians and Russians continually increasing. Reports that the Mariupol steel plant has been overtaken by Russian forces. That's very key, because I think the reason the Russians didn't destroy it because they want to use it. For what purpose? I think we're about to find out in the coming days. So we want to stay on the wall and be aware of what's going on there. Now, there are new reports coming out of D.C. in the Oval Office that you've been seeing Biden in this fake White House set, and people have been wondering why. Oh, it's dementia, they can control the environment. But why do they need to control the environment? And Politico has a good report out about this, in saying that, because they've talked to some staffers who are close to the issue and understanding, is that the old executive office building that this set, TV set, is at, which is where you only see Biden at, the reason it's there and he's only there is because they can control it, but the reason they have to control it is because this room is the only room that they're able to use that is allowing them to have a teleprompter, a TV screen in the back, so that he can read that and answer the questions. And if there's something that pops up off the cusp, they can control it. They can type something and tell him what to say. Whereas in the White House press briefing room, they can't. They're not it's not structurally set up for them to be able to do that. So that's why they're doing that, which tells you everything you need to know about how this administration is handling, literally handling Biden. And something we've been aware of, something we've been praying for, about putting a blanket of protection around President Biden to prevent his staff and the administration from taking advantage of him during these his moments of dementia. I think it's something we really need to be praying out in the season ahead as literal actions of what he does on a day-to-day basis are being played out in the public square for everyone to see, and now it's being publicly acknowledged. The revealing is occurring. This may seem like a small issue, but that's a huge issue. If the staff is having to set up and build a complete, use taxpayer dollars to build a new set just so they can have a teleprompter in the back to protect the sitting president of the United States, despite how he got there, he's there. So something we want to continue to pray about. And in other news, something that's very, very alarming, and I think something we need to be very well aware of, not only now, but potentially in the future, if something of a pandemic type of scenario comes about where you're forced to, quote unquote, forced to take some medicine procedure that the government deems as necessary, in the fact that the FDA has now come down and limits the authorized use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine due to increased levels of blood clots. When this stuff started coming out about this stuff, we talked about it here. We prayed about it, prayed for people to have wisdom. We had prophetic to not take the vaccine, really any vaccine. We had prophetic before this stuff launched out that the spirit of mammon was behind it, that unfortunately more people would die from the vaccine than the virus. We probably won't have hard physical data to see that because governments around the world are going to hide that data, but the Lord keeps record. And so I say this to say of not to be like, haha, we got you, but like, or like we told you so, but to say of we need a prayer for those who might've taken it. Pray that God would, you know, heal them, number one, but also to say of, look, we have to trust what the Lord's telling us. It may not seem like naturally the right thing to do. The government saying this, the government saying that, but at the end of the day, it's trust but verify. And a lot of people went into this mindset of, we can trust the CDC, we can trust the FDA and other organizations. And I think the veil of this respect and trust for these organizations has been lifted to where if you have a recommendation, that's fine. But now, again, it has to stand the test of time to play it out. And what we really need to understand is that going forward, if something else were to occur, and it possibly could, with all the testing that the NIH is doing around the world, you have these labs in Ukraine and other labs in China and throughout the rest of the world, and even in the United States and other places that are doing these experiments, and something could possibly leak and you could have another situation in that. This could possibly occur again. So how are we going to handle that? And I think, you know, obviously, you know, Florida and Texas, after some time of realizing what happened, they realized that a lot of the decisions, the mandates, the enforcement, the pushing of this stuff was a bad idea. And I think our leaders need to take an examination of the legal relationship with these pharmaceutical companies and NIH, CDC, all these other companies of their stronghold that they have over leaders, because it's led to some dire situations, not only mentally for people, health-wise, economically, but a tyrannical overreach, not only in America, but around the world, that needs to be examined by leaders to understand the reality of what happened. And the New York Post does a good job of an article of saying we still need to learn the right lessons from America's disastrous COVID response, and understanding that the response and the decisions that were being pushed by people like an Anthony Fauci and Dr. Birx, the CDC, of locking down, shutting the economy was a bad move. And even Obama in 2010 got this right with the swine flu virus. If he understood when he was presented the same situation that President Trump was presented with of shutting down the economy, he knew that would have been disastrous. So everyone needs to take a step back and reflect on whether this is the right decision, because now parents are considering, do we still, even though there are a lot of things out there, parents are looking at, okay, physically, especially if a child's been born when COVID started, now speech therapists are starting to see that kids' muscles around their faces aren't developed. They can't enunciate words correctly because they weren't smiling. They weren't watching people talk because they couldn't see people talk because masks were over their nose and their mouths. And so they weren't able to develop properly. So they're going to need some time and some grace from the Holy Spirit to be able to have that be rejuvenated within their face and their bodies. Which leads me to the report economically today that came out. The U.S. economy has added 428,000 jobs in April. That marks a 12th straight month of job growth. Now, that's obviously coming out of the COVID pandemic. So that's part of the reason why you're seeing that. The reason I want to talk about this today, and I'm going to get into it more next week, is that the numbers we're being given are a false facade. So with this amount of jobs being added to the market, of people accepting jobs, is put the unemployment rate at 3.6%. And I'm going to have to go back next week and show this, because for some reason I'm not able to pull it up. But also the U.S. labor market itself shrank entirely by 363,000 people in April, which puts the entire labor force market at 62.2%. Now, why is that important? So when you think of the entire labor market, you have to take the entire population of the United States. You take out people under 18 who majority of them aren't going to work. So they don't count that as part as labor force participation and even considering them into the unemployment rate. Then you take out people who are disabled, mothers who stay at home, et cetera. And then there's a whole gray area of who else you take out of the entire labor force. So you're saying the entire population within the United States of 330-something million people, only 62.2% of them are actively in the labor market looking for a job. Now, unemployment is at 3.6%, even though unemployment claims have jumped up to 200,000 last week. And the reason I want to point this out is because when we look back at labor force participation rates from just going back 20 years ago, April 2002, labor force participation rate was 66.7%. It is now currently 62.2%. Now, unemployment, April 2002, was 5.9%. So you had a higher labor force participation rate and a higher unemployment rate. And now we have a lower labor force participation rate and a lower unemployment rate, which tells you they're pulling people out of the labor force to make that number smaller than it already is. And the reason that that's important is if you're going to sit here and say, listen to these officials of saying, oh, looking at the market and all this stuff, of the market's fine, the market's roaring, people are spending, they're doing all this stuff. Well, how are they spending? Is it credit cards? Is it government stimulus? And Janet Yellen came out and said, yes, that's why. She said in an interview with Wall Street Journal that the government spending is what's causing part of the reason of causing inflation. Obviously, there's a host of other number issues involved in that. But the reason this is important, we have to understand, is that when we look at the market, and the market right now, because it's realizing where things are at, it is diving right now. And you can't always take that, what the stock market does, as a reality, because it's just a simple projection of people's opinions. But when you have these numbers, 3.6% means you have a thriving economy. We do not have a thriving economy. You should not be having inflation rate with 3.26%, 3.5%. With 5%, you should not have inflation. But we do. So everything's out of wonkers right now. And something we really need to pay attention to, in the point of, we need to be praying for leaders to awaken to the reality of these issues and start to understand and make policies in having truth come forward of freedom rather than more government spending. Freedom rather than more government assistance. And that's part of the problem, is there, for every one person looking for a job, or for every one job out there, excuse me, there are two people available for a job, and people just aren't taking them. They're staying at home because they're still getting government assistance to some form of degree. And part of that has to do with the fact that when Bill Clinton was in office, he removed the ability for people to be removed from government assistance if they weren't looking for a job, and allowed that to extend on. And Obama was part of that as well. So, but I digress there. And so we have this situation. We want to be praying for leaders in the future, now and in the future, to be able to have this wisdom, to understand the situations at hand, and make decisions that are best suited for this nation and individuals as well. Now, last couple things we want to really continue to pray for is the safety of the Supreme Court justices and their families, and obviously this court case ruling. Hopefully now that it's out, they can come out and let the ruling be known. But there was an interesting story that came out yesterday where a ex-reporter on Twitter put out a hypothetical question of what would happen if, Clarence Thomas or Samuel Alito were to be assassinated right now. He literally put that out. He then went back and deleted it, but he put it out there. And this is why we want to pray for them, is because this thought is coming out in the natural. The natural reveals the spiritual right now, and really a lot of times, but it's more heightened right now. And so we're seeing this occur. A good thing out of this is that Senator John Cornyn out of Texas introduced a bill calling for increased security for the justices and their families around their homes, as you're seeing quote-unquote peaceful protesters going to people's houses. And I wanted to play a video, but for some reason it's not popping up, that Jen Psaki was asked by Peter Ducey about, does the White House and the president himself condemn the quote-unquote peaceful protesters? And here is her answer.
Region. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Sorry to see you go.
Are you?
Yes, and you've always been a good sport.
Thank you.
And this is another side note, another issue, is that I think people can be cordial even if they disagree. I think that's a good back and forth between Peter Ducey and Jen Psaki.
See you up there, Kareem. So you guys spent some time yesterday talking about what you think are the extreme wings of the Republican Party. Do you think the progressive activists that are now planning protests outside some of the justices' houses are extreme?
Peaceful protest? No, peaceful protest is not extreme.
Some of these justices have young kids, but their neighbors are not all public figures. So would the president think about waving off activists that want to go into residential neighborhoods in Virginia and Maryland?
Peter, look, I think our view here is that peaceful protest, there's a long history in the United States and the country of that. And we certainly encourage people to keep it peaceful and not resort to any level of violence.
And then this is the issue, is rather than saying, hey, it's wrong to be going to people's houses where there are children, neighbors who may not like this, private property. Yes, there is the ability to have a peaceful protest, but going to people's private homes, obviously people who put themselves in the public square are open to more criticism and ridicule than your average citizen. But to say, you know, you have these peaceful protests, quote unquote, and obviously, you know, okay, keep it peaceful. We saw what happened this summer of the quote unquote peaceful protests, but the buildings behind the reporters were going up in flames. So this is why we want to continue to pray for the Supreme Court justices' families, their safety, through this storm, to give them peace, to be able to make the decisions that the Lord would have them make, and specifically continue to pray for Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, as they are the ones who will ultimately tip the situation either way. And Kavanaugh is the leader on this, as Justice Roberts is looking towards Kavanaugh of which way to go. And so we want to continue to pray there for that, as well as for churches this weekend, as there are now reports of massive, quote unquote, peaceful protests at churches in advance of Mother's Day that are being publicly made known. Public activists are saying we're gonna go quote unquote protest at churches, and this is nothing new. Sadly, police forces have been warning churches around the country for years of private threats that have been made, and now they're starting to become more public, as you've seen church shootings really be known. I guess this is a more better thing, and obviously we've seen how that plays out in the South, where. You don't know who's protecting and doing what because they are abiding by their Second Amendment rights. And a lot of churches are prepared for this. Some of them hire police officers to sit out front on the main street to deal with traffic and people like that, like a school resource officer, but a police officer that they hire to come in order to protect the churches. So something to pray about ahead of Mother's Day. Of all days, this issue of abortion. So we just want to intercede this weekend for the protection of the over the churches on this Mother's Day weekend against any attack from anybody who would try to do something nefarious. As this is a time for family this weekend, and praying hopefully nothing happens there as well. And then something we need to be aware of is that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is proposing a vote on what the bill is being called Women's Health Protection Act, basically codifying, making a law of Roe v. Wade, federalizing abortion up until pretty much the third trimester, which would be just utterly appalling. And some say even with what California just passing an infanticide bill of 28 days after the baby is born, being able to abort the baby. So something we want to pray about there going into next week. There are not enough votes right now, but if they want to remove the filibuster, that's a way to go around it and do it. So things to be mindful of, watchful of over this Mother's Day weekend. Hopefully you all can spend some time with friends, family, this weekend and enjoy the spring that we are now in, and continue to stay on the wall but rest up for the coming battle. And today at noon we have a great interview with our great friend out of South Africa, Apostle Natasha Gerbich, as we discuss the events around the leak of the SCOTUS ruling, and how that plays out, what you're seeing in the natural play out, and how we as intercessors can pray. How I talked a little bit about this week, how we can prepare ourselves, the need for repentance, of getting in right alignment with the Lord. And then when we pray, where do we pray from? And as we enter into this season of making sure, you know, as justice is coming down from the Lord, as corruption is being revealed, of are we in a proper place before the Lord? Are we following proper protocol within the courts of heaven to deal with this in the natural and supernatural, and to not have an overstep of our spiritual authority play out in the natural as well. So we have part one interview today. We'll have part two on Monday as well. It's great interviews, great resources, and she really does a great job of breaking down a very, very complicated issue today and on Monday of helping us understand how to walk out the courts, how to walk out our intercession in the courts of heaven, and making sure we're in right alignment with the Lord. We're following proper protocols, and we're dealing with what the Lord wants to deal with rather than what we want to deal with. And so with that, I'll close. Thank you, Jim, one of you, for following us this week. And don't forget noon prayer today. Apostle Natasha Gerbitz, dealing with the courts of heaven and understanding how to pray and intercede during these intense moments of supernatural battles that we have now entered into in the fight for life. So blessings, and I will see you guys next week. Have a good one.